Welcome back to part two of our conversation with designated drinker and Elite Vodka's U.S. brand ambassador, Aaron Ray, and of course, my guest co-host and Elite Vodka's global brand team member, Tyler Rothenberg. So if you've missed part one, you need to go ahead, belly back up to that bar and give it a listen first. I promise we'll save a seat for you. So Tyler, Aaron, in part one, you kind of shared your journey into becoming, you know, getting out from behind the bar, but being in this new, this different but incredibly exciting and fun position working with Elite Vodka. Kind of get to know you a little bit more and understand and why Elite Vodka. But you know what I'd really love to do is jump right into the Global Elite Masters Finals, because, you know, Tyler, we've been talking about this a lot, and I really want our listeners to find out more how amazing the competition is. I say that, but I really would love a cocktail right off the bat. Aaron, do you think we can do that?
I think so. And I mean, you really can't talk about martini competitions without having a martini. And I think we're going to start it classic, and then Tyler's going to tell us how these incredible bartenders flipped that on its head. Sound good?
Awesome. Awesome. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. It's all you, sister.
All right. So in part one, you batched this beautiful cocktail. So it should just be sitting in your freezer. And again, if you don't have it in there, go back, listen up again, and you'll get the recipe for it. So Louise, first things first, take that bottle out of the freezer.
I got it right here.
Beautiful, beautiful. So you've done the batching, the mixing portion of it, but now we have to actually do the technique in creating the cocktail. One of the great things about it coming right out of the freezer is it's going to be very cold. Already right off the bat, that is wonderful. It's going to be around a little bit warmer than your ice will be, but kind of around that same temperature. So you won't warm the cocktail up too much, and you will be able to dilute it to the proper amount without over diluting it. So what I would love for you to do is starting off with your mixing glass, fill it about halfway up with ice.
And got it.
If anybody doesn't have a mixing glass at home, I have made do with a glass Pyrex container. I have the little 2-cup thing. That one's perfect. You could do an oversized mason jar. You really just want to make sure you have enough space for not only the ice and the liquid, but a lot of room for it to move around. So fairly good size, a pint or larger, depending on how much you're doing. So that being said, fill about halfway up with ice. And then if you're just making one cocktail, you will do 2.5 ounces of the batch. And you know what? This one's easy. If you want to go ahead and pump that up a little bit, maybe it's Friday, maybe you've had a day, you want to make it 3-4 ounces, you be my guest. But they're right.
Hey,
standard portion's 2.5.
Don't judge me. Don't judge me.
I hear it pouring. That sounded like, no. So yeah, 2.5 ounces. And then you can just pour that right into your mixing glass.
Okay. Got it.
Perfect. And then you'll grab some orange bitters and put 4 dashes of orange bitters into that glass as well. Beautiful.
All right.
Now you're just going to stir it. So take your bar spoon. I hear it. You sound like you've got the technique, Louise. But what you really want to do is make sure you're kind of pushing and pulling the liquid around rather than agitating it. So think of running your spoon along the outside, or rather the inside of that glass, moving things around, letting the liquid come into contact with all of the ice. That's going to chill it. That's going to dilute it properly. And then, of course, mix everything together. And once you're there, I think that was a good amount of time. You usually want to go about 30-ish seconds.
It's kind of chilly in here, too. So,
well, then perfect. It won't be over-melted. Then you're just going to pour that into your glass. And for glassware, ideally you will have that Nick and Nora or that coupe glass, whatever stem glass you like, pulled straight from your freezer as well. So
yep.
It's super
nice
cold.
And cold.
Yes. So do you see the frost on it?
Yep.
Yes. Love it.
It's kind of hurting my fingers.
Oh, no. Well, we'll pour the liquid in there now. So you can just go ahead and strain off your martini into there. Oh, that is the sound of joy.
Yes, he's a little bit more in there than I kind of lied.
Not mad at it. And then take take a lemon peel. I usually like to go kind of, you know, wide, an inch or so wide, maybe 2 to 3 inches long. Just take that peel And then you'll take the skin side out. So the pith will be towards you. The color, the outside of the skin will be away from you. Hold the outside of it. Give it a little pinch. Spread the oils across the top of your glass. And then you can rim the glass if you like. I personally like.
I do.
Yeah. Lemon oil is my hands down favorite cocktail ingredient of all time, even more than spirits.
I watch you guys. I know how you do that.
You could teach a thing or two to all of us, I think, too. And then you can just go ahead and twist that in there. Yeah, if you want to be fancy, you can cut it and make it, beautiful and then artfully arrange it. But it's up to you on that. And then this is the best part. Drink it.
All right. Oh, that's really lovely. We could have these all day long. Come on, guys.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Good. Well, I think now that you are armed with a martini in hand, and hopefully the stem has warmed up just a touch there, you can actually... I know we need to give you gloves for this one. I think it's the appropriate way to learn about a martini competition, I believe.
Absolutely. Talk about it while you're having one. So, Erin, did you remember that website they're going to go to get this recipe?
Yes, it's designateddrinker.show.
I've had a little too much vodka. What was that?
These things happen. Designateddrinker.show.
Absolutely. So you're going to go there to get Erin's recipe. And we'll also have the how-tos, the tips and tricks there, and then, again, we'll have all the links that you'll need, whether you're just trying to figure out how to get vodka at your Elite Vodka at your home, delivered even maybe. Who knows if it can get that fancy. We'll have the link there for you. We'll also have the link if you're ready to jump into this competition, into the Elite. What's the name of that again? Make sure I get it right. Tyler, what's the competition name?
Elite Masters.
Elite Masters. If you're ready to jump into Elite Masters, we'll make sure we're going to have a link for that for the 2024 competition that's coming up. Because if you're ready to do it, we make sure it's easy for you to at least get your application. And I don't think it's going to be an easy challenge, but I think if you're up for it, you should do it. So again, if you missed that, it's designateddrinker.show. If you missed any of the recipe, don't worry. You can just scroll down into your episode notes and we'll have all those links for you there as well. So let's jump in. Tell us about the competition. What's the basis?
Yeah, the basis is to make delicious martinis. No, so the basis, so Elite Masters, last year we closed our 2023 Elite Masters competition in Athens, Greece in November. And it was really accumulation of a year's worth of work. And, the competition... as a principal, really trying to develop it into a platform, right? And that platform being how we connect to the bartender and how we provide opportunities to enhance, the bartender's career, to enhance the bartender's experience, and to be a partner to the bartending community, right? So I'm going to start backwards here. So there were 25 bartenders that had the opportunity to go to Athens for the global finals. And really the goal there was, once you've gotten to Athens, you've kind of already won, right? Like, don't get me wrong, there was a winner, right? And then there were 24 other really great bartenders that didn't get crowned the winner. But by going to Athens, we had a few days set up. One day was the competition where you had to make a freeze martini and you had to make a luxury summer cocktail. And you did so in front of a panel of world-renowned judges. I'll make sure to share those details if you like with you. You could share kind of their Instagram links with your audience, but some really, really special judges. And after that, there was the Athens Bar Show, which is a really incredible trade show focusing in on education, focusing in on highlighting and showcasing diverse and beautiful spirits, and focusing in on community. So the bartenders were there not just to compete, but also to really be exposed to greater opportunities for education, and to be exposed to cultures that I think maybe they haven't dealt with before. So for example, 10 bartenders from the US went into this competition, and I know for certain that none of those 10 bartenders have ever been to a bar show outside of the US, right? Which is pretty special. So that was kind of starting with the ending, which is bringing bartenders together to create really unique shared experiences that they can then take and tell those stories at their bars to their audience and their guests. But to get to that point, we worked with 16 different countries, and the brief was to make an elite freeze martini. So really what that means is a martini variation, right? You add up to 6 ingredients, elite being the star of the show. You could use whatever modifiers, vermouths, bitters, etc. you want to. But you had to really lean into this, our freeze filtration processes that I discussed in episode 1, and connect to the importance and the sensory experience of the element of cold. Right? Nobody wants a warm martini. I mean, maybe you do. I don't want a warm martini. Right? I want a cold martini.
Absolutely.
Keep the warm ones for you. That's fine. And what was really cool about this brief is it forced bartenders to get really detailed in technique, right? To understand different ways to make something cold, right? Whether not just ice, you know, whether it was a method like suppression, which is using deep freezers to manipulate the ingredients, or whether we had one of the finalists that literally had a conversation with a rocket scientist, works at NASA. This has been confirmed. We fact-checked ourselves, works at NASA to understand, you know, what is the coldest point you can get a liquid with it still being approachable, right? So he used dry ice. He measured the amount of dry ice. He measured the temperature and served the coldest martini that he was able to quickly through dry ice without it being painful to drink.
I was like, without burning your esophagus,
you know what,
literally.
There are such things too cold as well.
Hey, that's a freezer burn.
Burn is real. Yeah, you'll like that.
You don't frostbite.
Want you don't want a warm martini, and then you don't want your esophagus being burnt.
There's something in the middle.
No.
Instability.
Yeah, somewhere in between.
I'm confident. You know, and those are just a couple examples. So we really push the bartender to, I don't want to say recreate the martini, but to honor the tradition and the beauty and grace of a martini by identifying techniques and identifying methodology that would be unique and creative and present the coldest possible martini without burning your esophagus.
Was that in writing?
But we didn't have that issue, so we're good. We're good.
That's good. That's good. So what do you guys think about, I mean, there's lots of different competitions, and obviously it makes sense for the brand to do these things for so many reasons. It's a good, you know, good marketing effort. So there are bartenders out there that don't do these things. Why would you suggest that they do that? What is, do the elite challenge or any other challenge?
I think it's, I mean, two main things for me is one is to push yourself out of your comfort zone and to try to take an idea and continually try to make it better or develop it or go down a lane that you wouldn't otherwise, because look, the competition is not create the most functional bar menu to have a profitable restaurant. Okay. Like it is make a, you know, extraordinary cocktail that blows my mind, and you can't, you know, you're not going to have a menu full of those most places. But to push somebody out of their comfort zone, I think, and to try something that's new and different. And then the other thing and the piece that you hear over and over from people who are able to kind of get into an environment like this is just the camaraderie that you feel. You know, it does sound cheesy to say, you know, everybody won by going, but it's 100% accurate. It really, truly is. So maybe that first entry, you're doing something that's kind of more to push yourself out. But then once you get to that point where you're actually getting to be there with your colleagues, meeting people from around the country, around the world. Like that's really what it's about.
Yeah, Aaron's spot on. And you know, the way we view it as a brand, the bartenders in the trenches every single day creating and sharing experiences with guests. So we take extreme responsibility in understanding the importance and value of curating those experiences to the bartender. Right? We're all an extension of hospitality, and you know, we're not on an island and we shouldn't be. And we have a unique responsibility as a brand to ensure that we're using our resources to provide platforms for the bartenders to thrive and succeed, but to also better share those stories with their guests, right? Which is what it boils down to. And that was really the goal. Like, sure, we wanted to push the boundaries and capabilities of the bartenders to see how creative they can get with the martini while still having boundaries, right? Which I think boundaries force greater creativity, right? Because if you just say, do whatever you want, then there's no limitation, which I think limitations in creating cocktails are important, because it puts everybody on kind of a playing field, right? But the real goal, the most important goal, was to get 25 bartenders all around the world in one space at the same time so that they had the ability to build in community, to share ideas, to create relationships, to, you know, forge bonds. Like, that was really the goal that I think we're hoping to accomplish.
If you were to speak to a bartender like who hasn't done this, what piece of advice would you give them when, again, taking part of any competition?
I would say, first of all, make sure you really understand what the competition is asking. You know, if it is a freeze martini competition, probably don't make a mint julep or a cobbler or a margarita. You know, make a martini.
Or set it on fire.
Or, you know, yeah. Well, unless you can somehow make it on fire, but also cold at the same time, in which case, boom, yes, I want to see that.
Chicken dinner.
Yeah. Give them what they're asking for, but blow their mind along the way. But yeah, understand it first. And then the second is go as far down a road as you can go. Try to go a little bit further and ultimately make sure the cocktail tastes good.
Yeah. And then be rooted and grounded in story. That's important mm-hmm. too. Like, have, you know, the technical piece is really important, but then it needs to represent something that is definitive and matters. And you know, the cocktail is really a platform to impact the human experience somehow, more than just the way it tastes, more than just the way it looks, more than just the way it feels. But what does it represent? One thing that I think is really important, once you get to a certain level, take some time to learn the judges. Like, understand the background of the judges. Right? Because just like bartending, you're curating a specific experience, and that judge in front of you is a specific person with specific needs, wants, and desires, and you need to fulfill them. It's no different than doing that with a guest, but you need to take those things into consideration because it's not one size fits all, but that's part of hospitality.
It's know your audience.
Know your audience. Yeah, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important kind of piece to take with you as well.
I fully agree. And just to kind of reiterate something, you know, that Tyler said was be rooted in your story, like create an emotion, but elicit an emotion, bring it out. People want to feel things.
Totally.
Yeah. Get inspired. Yeah.
1,000%. Like, I was listening to a podcast recently, and it was about rhetoric, and Socrates and Aristotle and these other philosophers that have been dead for a very long time. But it was the idea was really simple, I think, right? It was about being more interesting in conversation or debate. And the takeaway for me was you can have a good story, right? Like, you, Luis, could tell me something and you could share an idea with me and I could go, wow, that was a really good point. But continue thinking and behaving exactly the same. You haven't changed my mind. You said something good, but it didn't change the way I think about things. And then the second piece is having a believable story, right? So now you share something with me and I go, wow, okay, I'm now going to challenge the way I look at this thing and may even change my behaviors based upon this evidence that you gave me. And the same is true with storytelling and cocktails. You might give somebody a cocktail and go, wow, that's a really good cocktail, right? But it starts and stops there versus, wow, that's a really good cocktail and an extremely compelling story that's now impacted how I think and feel in some shape, way, or form. And that is powerful.
Very true. Very true. Great storytelling is always about that. So whether it's in a podcast or in a glass, I think it's very, very important.
Even better when you get them both together.
Exactly. Well, guys, I have one final question for you. And if Gina were here, she'd ask it. And I don't normally ask this question, but since we're flying without her this time, she would ask, what's your spirit ingredient? Because, you know, often people are like, oh, my spirit animal is a snow leopard because I like the cold. Like to keep my esophagus warm enough that it's not burned, but I'm a snow leopard. If you were a spirit ingredient, whether it be food or liquid, what would it be and why?
I'm going to have to circle back and I am going to say lemon peel because I'm slightly bitter, but still kind of sweet, a little tart, sassy. I'm small and there's a brightness. And I want to be all over your cocktail. Maybe we re-record that part. Take that out, Al.
Keep it in, Al. Keep it in, Al.
I'll eat vodka, duh.
Because you're at the highest peak and pinnacle? Yeah.
I would say because he's cold as ice.
Because you're refined.
See, I don't even.
You're like, keep it coming.
I'm like Ali Vodka, so good that everybody talks about me for me.
There you go. Well, cheers to that. Cheers to Elite. Cheers to all of your success and all that you're doing to build communities and help your community and bring goodness into the world. So thanks, guys.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers to that. The Designated Drinker Show is produced by Missing Link, a Latino-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, we craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Also in the Missing Link lineup of podcasts is Roger That, a podcast dedicated to guiding you through the haze of dementia, led by skilled caregivers. Now, if you're looking for a whole new way to enjoy the theater, check out Between Acts, an immersive audio theater podcast experience. Each episode takes you on a spellbinding journey through the works of newfound playwrights, from dramas to comedies and everything in between. Find Missing Link's League of Podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And while you're there, please don't forget to follow, download, and review the shows. Your reviews help our shows reach new audiences. To find out more about Missing Link, visit missinglink.company. That's missinglink.company.